Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our Bible teacher and my best friend, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, dear. Well, the inauguration is over and it's finally official. President Donald J. Trump is moving quickly, his first week, and so far pretty effectively. But as always, before we get into what's going on, we need to ask God for his blessing, because in and of ourselves, we are absolutely nothing.
Yes, indeed. Abba, Father, our Jehovah Jireh, thank you for all your many provisions, and may you always look upon us with favor. We pray for our new president, that he fulfills your will, and we lift up all our listeners' prayer requests. For the needs are many, and we earnestly pray that tonight's program brings glory unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, the most asked question sent to me this week was, do you think President Trump will move our embassy to Jerusalem? And my answer is pretty simple, and I think I mentioned it last week. If he wants another intifada, then yes, he'll move it. But his answer right now is that they're discussing it.
Well, I suppose when Netanyahu visits next month, it may be decided upon, and it will.
Yeah, and probably delayed, I think, no doubt. Now this I want to mention is a really pretty low Obama trick, who on Friday morning sent $221 million to the Palestinian leaders in his very, very few last hours, probably to help them with their artillery to start another intifada.
He had to get one more shot at us before he left, but also knowing Palestinian probably won't get any more.
Well, the Republican members knew about this, and they had been blocking this for quite some time, actually, and it is generally respected by the executive branch, although not legally binding. So Obama knew this and did it, along with $4 million for climate change programs and $1.25 million to the UN. Meanwhile, President Trump needs to negotiate with Russia's Putin quickly, as our military has been growing in northern Poland on the border of the Russian country of Kaliningrad. NATO has been in the Baltic area, actually for a few months now, due to Putin's buildup of some, what they say are state-of-the-art missile defense systems, but he does deny any nuclear weapons.
Well, just remember, the globalists want another war somewhere, and they want it soon.
And they want to blame Trump for it.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Which is probably why they let him be president. But anyway, President Trump is moving pretty quickly. He's meeting with union leaders, or he has met with union leaders actually yesterday. And today it's the automakers. And he's been signing a few executive orders. One was on trade by withdrawing the United States from TPP, which we know was not good for the American worker.
And he wants to rework the NAFTA trade agreement too.
And immediately eased the regulatory burdens of Obamacare, and he imposed a hiring freeze for some federal government workers as a way to shrink the size of government.
Well, except for the military, I hope. Right.
Right. And here's a good one. He actually reinstated a ban on federal funds to any international group that perform abortions or even lobby to legalize or promote abortion. So I'm happy. And he's moving right along in the actually spiritual direction, too. So, but we need to move on ourselves, because we don't want this to become a political program, which it could very easily be.
No, we don't. But didn't you want to mention something about Antarctica?
Oh, I did. Actually, in the last few months, the world's political and religious leaders have been making trips to the South Pole, Antarctica, of all places, and Obama has, but of course that was very top secret. John Kerry, that was a little more open. But
yeah.
Why?
Well, I'm sure they're down there laying on the beach.
Yeah, right. Something's going on. I don't think the Russian patriarch, Kirill, is going to went down there to look at penguins. And so, of course, I did a little research. And did you know that the United States, back in 1947, sent a war flotilla of 13 ships and 33 aircraft to the Antarctic to seek out and destroy hidden underground Nazi bases, and then wanted to set up our own?
Yes, I did know that. The Nazis had a lot going on down there, and it was called Operation High Jump.
That's right. and apparently, they came into, first of all, it didn't go very well for us. And it come to find out that the Russians were actually watching us, and so they were taking pictures and a video, and they have one of our aircraft actually encountering flying saucers. Seriously. Which isn't spoken of much, of course, but the Third Reich did have advanced technology that many say was demonic, and that they actually went under ice and came into contact with highly intelligent beings. This is what the story says. And there have been reports of pyramids there that apparently open into some underground tunnels and passages.
Many military men have made reference to this, before they passed away.
Mm-hmm. And as a matter of record, so you can check on that. But again, do your own research. But now we see some pretty important people have recently been there. Even Buzz Aldrin, you know, the moon guy. But he got sick there and had to be rescued. And apparently did warn of some evil danger there. But then he walked that back. Probably was told to. And anyway, maybe Antarctica will just be a hiding place when needed for our elite, or maybe they are finding out some real important advanced technology, like how to make UFOs. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, by the way, most of the world's leaders believe that Hitler died in a bunker in Germany, but rather escaped to Antarctica.
Right. We were told that he died in a bunker, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I know that he didn't, but that's
yeah,
for another time.
Yeah, right. Okay, but anyway, before we get into tonight's scripture message, let's take the time right now to encourage our listeners to please submit your end-time questions, and let's tell them how they can do that, because we really do want to hear from you.
Yes, we do. And you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave a detailed message of your question to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always greatly needed and appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right. Okay, so we are going to look at the difference between the fullness of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles, because there's some confusion regarding this. But actually, it's a pretty simple teaching, except for the fact that today we have so much incorrect interpretations of God's word, and that can cause some confusion. So I hope to straighten that out tonight. Because I do find myself trying to always stay ahead of what you might be asked about, especially if your calling is to teach, and thereby know how to speak the truth in love, of course, and when you need to, and by the way, you will need to. Instead of just being silent, since the Bible is for reproof and correction, and I think Honey, could you read that scripture?
Absolutely. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Right. And that's why we look at scripture carefully. Because truth is important to me, and it should be to you as well. And we live in a time when real truth is often cast aside. In today's world, I'm finding that few people really love the truth, universally or objectively. Everything is now like a subjective interpretation of the truth.
Yeah, you know, in other words, how one thinks or feels, it should never be in their eyes, in their own eyes.
It should be in their own eyes, right. They do that. That's what they think and feel. But when that happens, we should ask them a question. Like, what is your source of truth for your conclusion? That usually leaves them with a questionable look on their face because they don't have an answer. But we do know what our source of truth is.
The Word of God.
Right. Also, immature Christians will often say, oh, what does it matter? Because it doesn't affect the gospel. But as a teacher, everything in the Bible matters. Now, if we are not sure, then sometimes we have to wait on the Holy Spirit to at some point reveal it to us.
And often it will come at a later time.
Uh-huh. But not desiring the truth is to be in a bad place. And especially for the unbelievers, because they're going to be left behind. And this lack of truth is what the Antichrist will take advantage of when he rises up with his seductive deception.
Due to their ignorance of God's word.
That's sad. And we're seeing this today among the lukewarm church of Laodicea. As well. They're being lazy with the word. You must protect the truth no matter what the cost. It is more precious than diamonds or gold.
And the wolves are out there, believe me.
We are in battle, so says Ephesians 6. Okay, let's read about the term fullness, which in the Greek is 4138, pleroma, which actually means complete, and that's in Ephesians 1:10.
In the dispensation of illness of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him.
This is the rapture of those who have already died and those in Christ on earth. Let's read one more and then we'll talk about it. Read the one in Romans 11:25.
Okay. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in.
Okay. Now those, if you think about it, are pretty simple statements, both by Paul, that tells us there is a veil over Jewish eyes due to their unbelief as a whole when he came the first time, when Jesus came the first time. So because of their unbelief, we, mostly Gentiles, but open to all, can be grafted into the promise of an eternal kingdom. The Apostle Paul, a former Pharisee, was given the ministry to the Gentiles from Christ himself. And that's very important to know. And he actually states that in Galatians 1:11 and 12.
But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And in verse 17, he says he went to Arabia to get it. Now, isn't that interesting? Because that's where Moses received the first covenant, as confirmed in Galatians 4:25. So, as I said, we learned from Scripture that Paul went to the same place as Moses to be taught the new covenant, which would now include the Gentiles. It's just amazing. And because of recent archaeological revelation, we now know that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. We even now have pictures of the charred mountain. And, saints, it was in the Bible all along. We always been taught that it was down at the bottom there. Anyway, it's not. And by the way, that is where I believe the Jews will flee to and be protected for the last half of the tribulation. I know we have always been told it was Petra. And believe me, I was so excited when I was able to go there. However, when you see the same biblical patterns often repeated, I have concluded that God wants the Jews back in the same area as they were before when he supplies their needs once again. And this time, they really will trust him. And then we'll be ushered into the promised land by Jesus himself at the end of the tribulation. Besides, Petra has too much stuff, even running water and food. How is that trusting God to supply all their needs? They'll be in the desert as before, and he'll supply them again. History does repeat. Okay, so Paul's ministry was first to the Gentiles, but while Jesus was here on earth, the apostles' ministry was to the Jew first, because Jesus knew that there would be a veil over them after his death. Didn't mean some Gentiles wouldn't believe them as well, and some did, just as some Jews today can be made complete and surely are, as stated in Romans 11. But the majority would be to the Gentiles. So it took on the term, the fullness of the Gentiles. And that's how it'll be when we leave. Then the bride will be complete. Full. Those that get saved after the bride is taken is of a different group called the Tribulation Saints. Anyhow, when we leave, and that's one of the many reasons we must leave, then the veil will be lifted off the Jews to have clearer vision to see the truth. And they will. Some pretty quickly, like the 144,000, which is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, who will have a double anointing and preach in Israel for the first half of the tribulation, and then for the half at the end of the tribulation, they will go to the rest of the world. Matthew 24:14. And they'll preach some more. And not even one hair on their heads will perish. So again, the salvation fullness of the Gentiles is when the bride is complete. And God already knows that date, and it is already set when we are taken up to meet him in the air. And I'm addressing this tonight because some are teaching that the fullness is at the end of the tribulation and are actually confusing it with the times of the Gentiles, two different expressions or idioms. So let's again see what the word says in Luke 21, where Jesus is giving a short summary of the tribulation and tells them to flee to the mountains in verse 24. And I'm going to read that. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So we see that the unrighteous Gentiles will be in control of Jerusalem, whose king will be the Antichrist. And remember that the book of Daniel records all the Gentile empires that will rule, with Rome as still the iron being the last one. Just like Rome ruled when Jesus was here the first time. But this time, Jesus will return to annihilate them with the sword of his mouth, Revelation 19. And you know, I have taught on this before. Just check out the archives on our webpage. Rome really has not disappeared, only went undercover, using the Catholic Church as a smokescreen. Have you heard of wolves in sheep's clothing? Yes. The devil is clever up to a point, but his time is coming to an end. So, how about you? Are you complete? Do you have the fullness of Christ? Just means salvation. Will you be part of the bride at the fullness of the Gentiles? Or will you remain as an earth dweller until the times of all the Gentiles are fulfilled? Surely you must see all the signs coming together. Even if you look at just the obvious ones, like the amazing increase of high magnitude earthquakes that are really off the charts, and so many, multiples every day. And you know, the media barely mentions them anymore. And then there's so much sickness and diseases, and the drug epidemic, which, by the way, my state of Ohio has the most deaths reported for overdoses in all of the United States. It's growing exponentially. You know, Revelation 9 and Revelation 18:23 addresses this. And in fact, verse 23 says that it would happen, and it would be especially heavy in the tribulation. Let me read it to you. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your drugs, and the word is pharmakia in the Greek, all nations were deceived. There's another proof that the bride will be gone during the tribulation. This is it right there. So, how about you? Are you listening out there and you've just never made Christ, Jesus, Lord over your life? You know that he did suffer greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your debt for sin, because the debt for sin has to be paid for. You can either let him pay for it, which he did, and accept that, or you can choose to pay for it yourself. Not a good choice. You know, he said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door," and that's of your heart, "and knock." He's knocking. You know, if you hear his voice, you better open that door. And he says, "I will come into you and will dine with you, and you with me." So, if you're hearing his voice and he's knocking right now, believe me, he is. But he won't crash in. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this magnificent love story. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is a great blessing. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in every way, health, everything. And that, by the way, you can read in Psalm 122:6. Till next time, have a good week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.